Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to get notified.
KUCI.
It makes me wanna.
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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Get Notified. It is me, Ryan Follin, your Ginger MC, and my mission is to help educate you on all things social media. Today, I am super pumped. We have two amazing entrepreneurs, and we're going to talk about where entrepreneurship meets social media, where social media meets entrepreneurship, and everywhere in between. If, for some reason, this is your first time listening to the show, congratulations. We cater to a number of people, specifically those that love social media, want to get better, those that hate social media, and those that are generally confused by social media. We have amazing guests. We have a lot of fun. And if you missed our show yesterday or last week or the week before, you can catch them all at getnotified.kuci.org. That's getnotified.kuci.org. Yesterday, we talked about selfie optimization. It was awesome. Don't miss out on that one. And today, I don't want to stall at all because we have only an hour and two amazing people to talk to. Our first guest here, who was actually referred by Ash, who's been on the show a few times, Ash Kumar. Our first guest here today is Kumar, and he serves as a consultant, and he services a range of industries. He's got impressive clients from Fortune 500 startups to celebrity athletes. He's actually in the process of releasing his first book. He is on a project on CNBC 2016. I've had my Javas in. I'm all ready to go. Do we know exactly what we're going to talk about? No. But are we going to learn something? Yes. Kumar, are you on the line, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. So where in the world are you at this moment in time?
I am in Los Angeles.
Sweet. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we love L.A. And are you aware that there's this TEDx L.A. coming up?
In L.A.?
Yeah, TEDx L.A.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, so it's actually their first TEDx L.A., which is super pumped. And I'm a big fan of L.A., and I actually have a pre-TEDx L.A. experiment going on called the City of Speakers. And I'm basically trying to capture an artistic rendition of the voice of Los Angeles. So I'm going around interviewing thousands of people, asking them what their voice is, and people can submit at cityofspeakers.com. So I want to know, right out the gates, you're in Los Angeles, what is your voice? It's a very open-ended question, but it basically gives you a chance to start wherever you want. Imagine your voice as paint, and I'm getting thousands of other colors, and I'm going to mash them all together in some big mashup, and I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but what would your paint look like if it were a voice? Totally anonymous, although we know who you are. What's your voice? What are you about? What is your participation?
I guess if it's in regards with LA, I'm just curious. You know,
curious.
I just moved here about a little less than a year ago, and I have no idea what life's in store for me. You know, I came from Cleveland. Big fish in a small city. Now I'm here in LA, bringing all my projects and ventures over here now, and who knows what's in store. So curiosity is definitely my color, if I had to say.
I love it. Very cool. And
yeah,
that's what's so great about Los Angeles, is it's just such a melting pot. And I guess sometimes you assume that if you're in LA, you're just from LA, but so many people are transplants, and mm-hmm. there's so much to learn. There's so many people. And I'm just glad we're connected here. Now, how did you meet Ash, who had connected us?
Ash and I share the same organization. We are part of Young Entrepreneur Council.
Okay, cool.
And I think we connected over there a few months ago. He found out I just recently moved to LA, and we had a lot of common connections. We just kind of kept in touch from there.
Very cool. Now, for a selfish plug for yourself, how do people find you online so they can cyberstalk you in the best way possible?
So my website is kumar-aurora.com. That's kumar-aurora.com. And then all of my social media handles are kaurora007.
Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, we'll loosely go through some social media topics, but how important is it to have one social media handle across all platforms?
Oh, I mean, it's something that everyone should strive for, because When you're out at a bar, when you're out with your friends, anyone, you know, you meet, it's always easier to tell them one name to find them anywhere, you know, and with combining that concept with the idea of search, you know, like, if they can't find you, your social media doesn't need, like, isn't working, right? So having one name saves you a lot of trouble because they'll remember you. And, you know, if they follow you on Facebook, maybe they might follow you on Instagram. So it's one of those things that your brand has to be consistent. I mean, we see the name Coca-Cola in every country. They don't change their name based on the country. And that kind of applies to social media as well.
I think that's interesting. Now, is your name a common name? Were you not able to get it in one or more platform, and then you sort of...
Okay, so I chose not to go with my name because, you know, it ends with... My first name ends with AR, my last name starts with AR, so it looks a little confusing when you see it all online.
Oh, it's like an RR.
But, yeah, AR. So it just didn't look right when you, like, look at it as one name, but... it's a pretty common name in India. You know, Kumar is no different from, say, Mike. So I'm pretty sure, I wouldn't be able to score that name that easily. So I kind of just stuck with K Aurora 007.
Yeah, I like it. And you're using the James Bond kind of allusion here. So right out the gates, for people who are listening, if you're just getting into social media, it's a good idea to probably do a check, go to these different platforms before you just go blindly sign up for an account. And double check to see if you can get, whether it's your name or something else, as a consistency across it first, right? So did you do mm-hmm. a little spot checking? Because I have a feeling some people probably sign up for Twitter and then they go sign
up. There's actually a website for that. It's called
something
Name Check. And you can actually type a username in and it'll check that all of those, you know, every social media is available.
That is crazy. So,
yeah.
Again, for those of you who are just all of a sudden trying to scramble to write that down, the website is called Name Check?
I think it's called Name Check. I don't know the exact name, but if you can Google this, and it allows you to search a username into their system, and it'll actually run a little, it'll just run
moly,
through each one and give you a whole sheet of what's available and what's not.
Yeah.
Now, I use this all the time for every investment, every project I have, so I want to make sure, not just with my personal social, but my business's social is all the same as well.
Yeah, that is rad. So I just did Ryan Folland, and definitely the .com is taken because that's me. And then top level domains, and then it looks like, holy, wait a minute, it says Facebook is available. I thought I was Ryan Folland on Facebook. Wow. Okay, so this is a really good nugget of information, and it proves the point that just when you think there's more to learn, you're exactly correct. Because here, one of the biggest problems is when you're starting off, getting 5 or 6 different handles for all the platforms, you can now go to namecheck.com and you can see and do a way quicker check.
That
at
was the domain, right?
Yeah,
it's been a while since I checked it, but it's called Namecheck.
It is
right?
Namecheck. And then it basically has all the .coms, the top level domains, the social media usernames, apps. Look at that. There's no Ryan Folland app at this point. See, my drama is that I didn't listen to my own radio show before I signed up. So I grabbed Ryan Folland for Twitter, and then Instagram, somebody else named Ryan Folland took it. So I'm Ryan.Folland. So I'm one of those guys that are stretched
between. Another thing I would suggest, taking, you know, this principle is, it's not just about taking that, you know, the names that you want, but you should also take names that somebody else might take that's somewhat similar sounding, right? So in the case of my sunglass company, I have rogue-eyewear.com, but I also own Rogue Sunglasses, Rogue Sunnies, Rogue Eyes, Rogue Luxury. I took up as many domains as I could, too, just to protect myself. And obviously, they all feed anyways back to the same site. But it's always good practice to cover your grounds in case even something were to happen or something similar comes out in the market.
Wow. This is... We're like Hussein Bolt here with information right out the gates, less than 10 minutes into the show. So use namecheck.com, find out where they are. You've used kind of a creative allusion to 007, which halos you into pretty much being, you know, a badass. Do you drink martinis?
Yeah, fast cars, fast women, and martinis.
Awesome. I think that we can communicate a lot more efficiently if we find things that people already know and speak in terms of things that they already have established. So tip number one, see if you can get, at all possible, your same name on all domains. And then number two is if you have a company or even a name that's common. So, you know, like I might want to go grab Mr. Ryan Folland and some of these other things so that it protects myself later on. Better to be safe than sorry, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For your sunglasses company and for your book and for your move and for everything that you're doing, how influential or important is social media to what you're doing? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is social media for you and your brand and your products and your company and your investments?
It depends on the industry, okay. Of course, but I'd say it's closer to 3 or 4 out of 10.
Okay.
Wondering why is it so low, but I'm looking at it almost on a percentage value. That's taking up 30% of, say, some specific industry's time because you need to magnify what you do. And I think a lot of people tend to spend so much time on social media, but they forget about the core of their business. But to me, I look at it like social media is the oil to the machine, right? You have your machine, it's running, it's working. You just need to add the oil to make it go smoother, to make it go faster, right? And I think that's social media is more of a complementary tool, not a supplementary tool to what you should be doing. So that's kind of my principle of how I look at it. Now, of course, it depends on, you know, the industry. If you have an e-commerce-based business, of course, social media is going to be way higher than, you know, 3 out of 10. If you have, a business that's strictly marketing and you're a marketing firm, maybe your social media is going to be even higher because you are a marketing firm, so you should be using the tools necessary. So it really depends on the industry, but to me, I look at it as, you know, oil for the machine for the most part.
I am totally tweeting that out right now. I think that's great. So for those of you who are not following me on Twitter, you should, and that's at Ryan Folland, RyanFoland. And what's cool is if you follow me, now this tweet, you automatically have the handle of our guest on the show. You are full of great information, and I love the fact that social media is only a 3 or 4 out of 10. And people, I think, put way too much importance on it. Our guest yesterday, I'd love to connect you with him. He is amazing. He was talking about industrial design when it comes to utilizing social media components, like your table being optimized for somebody taking a picture of food on it for a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. And he was talking about the same thing where you can get super lost in trying to keep up on your Twitter feed and forget about sales of your business or forget about some of the foundational things that you need to be doing. And you just reinforce that. So if he says it's true and you say it's true, and then we'll ask Ryan Blair, then if three people say it's true, it's just as true as though you were going to search on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for you, with social media being the oil, I love that analogy. Tell us a little bit about your engine. What kind of car are you driving? I know it's a fast car. I was checking you out on LinkedIn. You have so many projects going on. And maybe that's an interesting topic to touch on is how do you manage these different engines with the different oil and different accounts? And I think so many people are overwhelmed by social media. How do you suggest for people to not be so overwhelmed? Because you're driving more than one car right now, correct?
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it. So I'm an investor, and I'm giving you guys a little bit of a plug here, but I am on a CNBC show that's on right now, not coming out this summer.
Oh.
Summer's pretty much over. It's actually out right now. A new episode airs actually tonight at 7 o'clock. It's called Cleveland Hustles. It's executive produced by LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, I've totally heard about that.
And it's a combination of Shark Tank meets The Apprentice. So in the first 4 episodes, which have already passed now, you see the different investments kind of come in and have to compete with each other. And then after that, now you can see what happens after the investment. So starting tonight, you're going to see the businesses that were chosen have to now kind of fight and struggle their way through Cleveland, which is a smaller city, and, you know, make it. And that's kind of it's a fun story to watch because it's going from, you know, the pitch decks and the investment deals and all that hard stuff to now an even harder challenge of building a business and not failing on television. You know, that's not, and only having to do it in 90 days. They only have 90 days to build their businesses up. So clock is ticking, and tonight's a new episode. So
that's
it should be
rad.
Pretty fun.
How has being on a major station like that influenced your social media? Have you seen just a crazy ramp, or Is it the kind of situation where even if you're on TV, you still have to talk with people and remind them or drop your Twitter handle or, you know, how
is
that?
I think regardless whether you're on TV or not or you get some big opportunities, you should always just make a habit or a practice of promoting yourself properly.
How do you properly promote yourself?
I can say that my Facebook has definitely spiked. You know, and that makes sense because the average viewer, the demographic that watches CNBC, aren't very hip to say Instagram or Snapchat. They're more likely to be on Facebook and Twitter. So my Facebook has blown up by a few thousand. Instagram went up a little bit. But yeah, every time you know the episode airs on a premiere day or you know like a rerun, which happens at least 3-4 times a week as well, I see a spike of about you know. At lowest 50, at highest 500.
Cool. So how I want to know how to effectively promote yourself without being like a humble bragger or without being sort of lame nut or without being whatever else. I can't swear here because we are regulated by the wonderful FCC, but imagine the explicatives that people might put on themselves in a negative manner if they think that it's they're just putting them, they don't know what to do. So what are maybe the top three ways that you can drop, you know, a promotion for yourself without seeming lame? And do you just go for Facebook or do you just hit them to the website?
What are your three tips? And this is beyond just myself and my current situation. You should never just tell people to follow you. I think it's unnecessary. You know, why should they follow you? That's the bigger question. What are you giving them? What's the content that you have that's relevant to their life? I don't want to sell myself to someone that doesn't need to be following me because I don't need those types of followers, right? They don't gain anything from me. So if I tell them, like, oh, check out my Facebook, that's direct. What I would rather say is, hey, I just wrote this great article about this specific topic. I posted on my Facebook. Come check it out, right? That sounds a little bit more relevant. That they're going to go and read something that I've given to them. I'm giving them something instead of that asking them of something, right? And I think a lot of people forget about that it's better to give than to ask. And if you keep giving, eventually they might just follow you. And that's actually far more relevant than for you because now they actually want to be with you. They want to follow your journey. So in my case, now applying that same principle, I always tell people, you know, follow me. But instead of saying it that way, I tell them, hey, you know what? I just posted a cool video. It reminded me of you. Or I've got some great articles I wrote about entrepreneurship. I think it might be applicable to you. Check it out. And then they might end up following me on that respective social media.
I think that's great advice. For those of you out there listening, I am putting another tweet out. It says, never tell people to follow you. You should be thinking and sharing why people should follow you. It is better to give than to ask. And that was more than 140 characters. So pardon my bad grammar here, but I used an ampersand and I did just a Y instead of a WHY. So it's okay. We got it. Okay. So tip number one is don't ever ask people to follow you. Now I'm here on campus at KUCI and I help to manage social media marketing for about 25 departments on campus under the Office of the Vice Provost for Teaching and Learning. One of the biggest challenges for all these departments is getting students to learn about their resources. So I'm assuming that still applies to the Writing Center or the Study Abroad Center or the Entrepreneurship Center. These departments, talk to me for a second. When they're out, it was just the Anteater Involvement Fair, and we just broke a world record yesterday for four-sided dodgeball. And all these students are hovering around all these booths, and everybody's trying to get some sort of connection because they know that once the student's gone, it's hard to capture them again. Should these departments follow this advice and not say, follow me, but instead, basically, are you just communicating, here's why you would follow me?
Yeah, I mean, it's organic growth, you know, because if the entrepreneur, the student, or whoever is following you, they have they're committed to you now. It's not just watching you, right? There's plenty of ways to just get a lot of advertising or pay for that, but you want them to be organic and you want them to follow you. So you have to give them something, whether it's relevant information, content, a nice video, an article, a resource. And as you continue to keep giving it to them, once they see it, that's when they follow you back. So an opportunity at a fair like the one you spoke about yesterday, you can meet with them, talk to them about stuff, and then at the end of it all, say, you know what, if you like what we talked about, you can find more of this on our social media. So that's the last line to make sure that, you know, you're not kind of handing your business card really fast and telling them what to do. You're letting them kind of learn more, and if they like it and they stay, that's when you can kind of tell them, if you want more, go to my website and go to my social media.
I think that's great advice.
If you push it on them, they're less likely to want to engage.
Yeah, it's your classic sort of dating takeaway, right? I mean,
you're not
at the bar just saying, here's my card, here's my number, here's everything. You're trying to create a connection. You're trying to see if there's compatibility.
I mean, it's almost like sales. You know, a telemarketer that calls you, you automatically want to say no, right? That's just who we are. We just don't want to deal with it. Whereas if somebody calls inquiring random questions and then eventually leads to where they're getting at, you're a little more susceptible because you've had some time with that person. You trust them now. You trust to follow them. You trust to listen to them.
Time, trust. I was reading over a little vacation I had in Catalina recently, and I'm a big quote kind of guy. I love doing quotes. Every day I do my Instagram quote on at Ryan.Folland, not to be confused with Ryan Folland, but Ryan.Folland.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully everybody gets that. And it's basically saying something along the lines of the most precious thing in the world is the attention that you pay to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really go back down to that core by following someone, I love what you said. You said they're not just watching you, because you can pay for that. You can get eyeballs promoted and whatnot. They're not just watching you. They are committed to you. And that means that, think of all the friends. Think of how many friends we all have, like a loose connection of friends. But there's certain friends that maybe don't share similar interests, and it's not like we're hanging out with them all the time, or if we have free time, we're not calling them. But the people that say you're into music and they play music, there's a common interest or a shared value. So I always like to connect the dots between the offline and online. And I think that's a really great piece of advice, is to focus not on the, don't focus on the follow. Hashtag unfocus on the follow, maybe. .com. So that's one amazing sort of tip. Any other, do you have two other, just to round out a nice three about how to shamelessly
I'd say, you know, in the case of yourself, since you handle social media for so many different departments, in the case about a lot of people out there who run their business, personifying your social media, I think, is something that is often forgotten. You want to make sure that they can see who's running it, who's in charge, because a person is why you follow. You don't necessarily follow just a business, because a business is not someone you can fall in love with as easily. I think that when you say, hey, this is Shelly, she runs the writing department, right? And you see her, and you see her maybe waving or in the Instagram stories or on the Snapchat. When you can start to see somebody you know, you're familiar with, when you see somebody you like, when you see somebody you want to hear more about, you're more likely to continue following them, because they're the ones giving you that advice or giving you some sort of sense of, you know, fulfillment on why you follow them.
I think a lot of
businesses tend to keep posting stuff and then they forget that they're a person. You know, you're following a person. You have to have a human element to yourself. So I think that's pretty important too. And these days it's often forgotten.
And that's a great point, because a lot of times students will go to a program and they'll really connect with a certain individual, like a counselor or a writing assistant or somebody who's helping them on the one-on-one, and that is that relationship. So a note to all departments and people who run businesses, humanize your social media so that you see that it's not just a very stagnant, stale thing. Now, this also works for cars. My dad was a car guy, and he always instilled in me, you know, take care of the things that you love and they'll work better and last longer. And specifically, always name your car. Because when you name your car, or you name your phone, or you name your boat, or you name anything, it actually is an act of personification. And when you attribute human qualities to something or some object, you have more of an affinity to take better care of it and things like that. So personification, I dig it. So let's chat real quick about this whole Youngry event. You are on board with the Youngry, and it seems like you're a pretty Youngry individual.
Wait a minute. I've always been following Ash's career.
Wait a minute, because we have, speaking of the Youngry, we have another very Youngry person who's coming on, Ryan Blair. Hang on. Ryan Blair, are you there, sir?
Hey, man, this is Ash Kumra. How you doing, man?
What's up, Ash? Look at you, just called drop bombing us. This is great. Did you hear your name a couple times?
What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? So I think that you probably hear the word Youngry in your sleep, and then you heard it on the radio, and then all of a sudden you just like you just swarmed to it. Welcome.
It was like Superman. He heard the call. Like, he just showed up.
It was like the bat signal. Like, you're right. Like, I literally saw the Youngry sign up in the air when you talked about it, and I just
Oh my gosh, you totally have to come up with a bat signal for it, and then like you can culturally get everybody to rally around it, right?
Yeah, maybe we could be like, "Yungri!" Like it's some like cool like Gaelic like sound or something.
That was a I like the Gaelic concept, but that was more of a yodel, to be honest. Yungri. Hey, so what is Yungri? I mean, Ash, you talk about it all the time. So, Kumar, why don't you tell me about Yungri and what is going on the 26th? And hopefully our next caller is going to be Ryan, not me, but another Ryan, and we're going to have a party. It's like a party at KUCI.
So Ash is working on this amazing project called Yungri, and it's an ecosystem for entrepreneurs, a resource tool for entrepreneurs where they can come to a website, learn what they need to, share what they need to, and then also become part of it as well. And Ash is kind of taking the lead on pursuing this project, and he's rounding up an amazing team of advisors and putting on great events just to kind of get the support, rally the troops, and create awareness that we don't have a place online for entrepreneurship to exist. And hopefully Yungri can become that soon enough. And right now we're having an event on September 26th, Orange County Tech Happy Hour, that Ash is putting on with a few great individuals. And I'm actually one of the speakers there.
Nice. What are you going to be speaking about?
You know, I don't know yet. I usually think on the fly, but I think it's going to be more of a Q&A style, because talking about my show that's on right now and the investment process and just being an entrepreneur like everyone else, you know, around us.
Rad. Well, you've delivered quite an amount of information here today within the first 27 minutes of the show, so I am proud. Ash, if you were or weren't listening, basically you need to personify your social media accounts. Don't just be the Yungri. You need to be Ash behind Yungri, which I think you're doing. Don't ask people to follow you. Let them know that you are doing awesome stuff, and if it's of interest, they can check it out. And all kinds of great information like this. Oh, and
you know,
Ash.
You know what? That sorry to interrupt you, but that's, I love what you're saying. And I'm going to add one more thing, because you and I did an interview in the past. And I'm just wondering, you reiterate something, because I think Kumar does a good job of this. And you definitely do a good job at this. Find the social medium that you're really comfortable with. Like for me personally, I do really well with Facebook and LinkedIn. Like, those are my jams. But company-wise, Yungri does really well with Twitter. It's so I don't know what I'm trying to say. I mean, if that makes sense, but like just find that medium that you're authentically comfortable with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think sort of focusing on don't be the jack of all trades and the master of none. Be on a few social media platforms and focus on one or two or three. No, I think that's a good point. And you only have so much breath when you're talking to people. So when we were out there boothing at the Anteater Involvement Fair, it wasn't follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on LinkedIn, follow us on this, follow us on Flickr. It was like one central point. If you like what we're doing, which is highlighting all of these awesome resources on campus, and you know we can help you funnel through that mess, just check us out on Facebook. And if that works for you, then there's other channels that are relevant. But it is kind of like a, you know, I want to think, what is the Looney Tunes character? The guy who goes and spins around real fast? The Tasmanian Devil. Don't be the Tasmanian Devil when you're asking people to follow you into social media. Like, you just literally spin and people hear maybe like, So focus on one, right? And for Yungri, follow them on Twitter and then they see what's going on and then they will branch off and sort of explore other opportunities, I would imagine.
Yep.
Well, that was great, because we wanted to do three, because my favorite number is three, because we count one, two, three, many. And the three top tips, you rounded out. Look, hey, check this out. I think Ryan Blair is calling. And we're going to patch him in. Mr. Ryan Blair, is that you?
That's me.
Hey, we just had a crash caller. Ash came in and pretended like he was you for a few minutes, and then we totally called his bluff.
Oh, really? Okay, that's cool.
So we've got Kumar and we've got Ash, because he just decided to crash call. And then we've got you, Ryan. Now, I love your name. Do you know what it means?
It depends. Not in all languages. I do not.
Oh, my gosh. Ryan. Okay. Ryan means little king. Okay?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Heard that.
Well, that's good. So little king is good. It's not, as soon as you're the big king, then everybody's taking shots at you, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So for people who don't know who Little King Blair is, he is not only a New York Times bestselling author, he's a self-made millionaire and serial entrepreneur. And your first company was at 21, which I'm surprised. I thought it would have been more at like 12, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And basically you've been there, done that, you failed miserably, you've gotten rashes, scars, bruise, burns, and then you figured out the topical lotions after having gotten that stuff, and now you are sort of basically from rock bottom to rock star, which happens to be the name of your book, and you're doing the book tour, and look at how synergistic this is, because you're coming to town to talk at the Youngery event with the OC Tech Happy Hour. We've got Kumar who's speaking. I happen to be most likely the ginger MC that's loud and obnoxious and maybe funny, but like right on that line. And this is like a pre-OC Tech Happy Hour party way before 10 o'clock when, you know, we probably start the happy hour.
Happy.
Happy.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a long introduction. But yeah, I'm excited to be there and be part of the event. Obviously, I invested in Youngery, so I'm really excited about that. And I hope to bring some new information from my fund and talk about the book and share with the entrepreneurs in the audience, you know, how I've been able to do it.
So today we're kind of loosely talking about how entrepreneurship ties in with social media. And I asked a question to Kumar about how effective or influential social media has been in his business and his life, his investments. And he said, well, it depends. So we grouped it together. So the question for you is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how influential and important is social media for like all this crazy stuff that you're doing, on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say that on a 1 to 10, I'd put it at least a 7.
Okay.
And you know, but there's like, for example, if you're looking at selling a book and marketing a book is the same as, say, running for president, but at a lower scale.
I like
so
that.
Social media is a huge aspect of it, but getting out there, shaking hands, meeting people, having people see who you are, look you in the eyes is equally as important, if not more important, when you're talking about, you know, winning friends and influencing people. Now, that said, in terms of other businesses I'm involved in, certainly Kumar's business, social media is extremely important to that. And it's probably, I'm guessing he gave you a number far greater than 7.
What do you think he guessed? What do you think he guessed? This is exciting.
I think he guessed 9.
Take that and divide it by 3.
Oh, really?
he came up with a 3. But here's what's interesting. And he really like felt the mic was dropped at that point. And everybody who was listening sort of was like, oh my gosh, what's happened to the world? And he got into it and he said, he thinks of social media as the oil for the machine. So if you have a car, you've got your engine, you've got all these components of business. And like you said, shaking hands and life components and looking people in the eyes, everything that's offline. And that social media can really accelerate it, make sure that it doesn't heat up, that it performs better. And I thought that was an interesting analogy, kind of busting the myth that social media is crazy important. Because if you get lost and spend too much time updating your profile, like, but you forget the core elements of your business, then that's a challenge. Ash.
Well, I've flirted with deleting all my social media a number of times. So it is a necessity. It can be a time waster, which is your biggest enemy as an entrepreneur. But we have to focus on those things that produce results. There's an old acronym. It's income-generating activity, IGAs. And so if your social media is an income-generating activity versus perhaps an awareness activity or branding activity, well, then, you know, income generation is extremely important. So I would say you have to rate it to your specific business and also to your style as an entrepreneur. You know, for me, I think I do my best. I'm in a classroom setting kind of thing, and I got a whiteboard, and I'm taking questions and answers. And social media, although with some of the new, you know, Facebook Live and Periscope and some of the other platforms out there, you can get real Q&A going. It's not the same. It doesn't, you know, provide the same amount of I don't know, intimacy and freedom among the students, so to speak, to really address the questions that they have inside of them and get the answers that they need. Because, you know, all business is about is learning from other people's mistakes and learning from other people about how they did it so that you can find your way to do it too. And that's the secret to my success, as is the success of many other people. So, you know, the classroom setting, I think, is an important place, but it's not for the things that they teach you perhaps in business school.
You know, I got a question for Ryan, actually, Ryan Blair.
Okay.
I'm curious, Ryan Blair, how are you using social media to promote Rock Bottom the Rock Star? Because, you know, it is coming out on the 4th.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so I didn't have on a personal level, I did not engage heavily in social media. I would use it just to, you know, every once in a while ping the people that gathered around, you know, some of the work that I've done in terms of my writing and entrepreneurial activities. This time around, I've gotten a little more serious about the subject. You know, so I've been posting stories. I've been working. I got a writing gig with LinkedIn, and I've been writing for them. I'm part of their editor picks. I've been making sure that I syndicate across the platform. So I guess most importantly, this time around, I do realize it's a massively growing trend. The millennials are an extremely important audience for me. You know, I invested in Elite Daily for the listeners out there, and I got to learn a lot about, you know, the millennial audience. And for those of you who don't know my age, I'm 39. So technically, I'm like 2 to 3 years outside the millennial age brackets. So I'm kind of like the big brother to the millennials. And so most important, my engagement in social media right now is I want to learn from the best of the best. I had a recording artist at my house the other night. His name is Dawin, D-A-W-I-N. And he built a platinum recording career off of using social media and then integrating the cross platforms together, but, you know, obviously having unique content for each platform. And he drove himself to a platinum, record as a result of it. So I'm learning about the subject day in, day out. But, you know, for me, it's not a matter of how many millions of people follow me. For me, it's a matter of, you know, who follows me, what their real engagement is, and then what's the dialogue between me and them. So if they're real entrepreneurs and I'm able to really get, you know, feedback from them about, you know, how I can educate them or feedback from them about, you know, my book or my writings or how it's impacted them, that's the fuel to my fire, so to speak. And so this time around, it's a lot more important.
I think that's a great answer. I love the fact that you said it's not how many people are following me, it's who's following me.
There's an old article written by one of the editors from Wired. It's on kk.org, if I call it. It's called 1,000 True Fans. And the premise of it is all you need to be a professional musician or artist of any sort is 1,000 true fans that pay you, if I recall mathematics, for $100 per year. And then you would make $100,000 per year and thereby be deemed a professional. Now, that number might be more now to consider yourself a professional. You might need to make 150 or whatever the case is. But that said, it is a small number of people that are highly engaged that you really need to serve. So don't get caught up in, you know, the person who has 8 million followers, but they're broke, right? That's interesting. But, you know, that person isn't necessarily making a great living off those followers. And so it's not how many people follow you, it's who follows you.
Yeah, and that kind of plays in. Go ahead, Ash.
I just think one thing, because I'm a fan of Ryan Blair, and I love his social media. And the one thing that I think he does really well, and this is something to pose to both of you, is Ryan really engages a lot of comments. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk had this, you know, if you see Gary Vaynerchuk like that, you know, he always says, comments are my oxygen. And at first I was like, okay, that's a little self-promo. But now I actually understand that rationale, because when people are commenting, then they're CCing people, they're adding people. And I noticed with, like, Ryan's post, like, he gets a lot of comments. And so I was just curious to either of you, Ryan, little kings out there, what do you think from a content perspective, what do you think it takes to have content that engages comments? Because, Ryan Blair, you're clearly doing that.
Yeah. Well, I'll answer first.
Yeah, you know, go for it.
Calls to action, CTA. So, you know, you can't just post one-directional statements. You have to be full duplex, and I'm using my tech terms, having been a telecom entrepreneur back in the day. But you have to basically have a call to action. You have to ask questions, not just, you know, provide statements. And you also, in my opinion, you want to connect where the reader or the person is. And right now, for example, you know, you want to find comments that are topical. For example, my post on LinkedIn yesterday was about the terrorist attacks and my personal experience having two of my team members in the Pulse nightclub. And so I think you want to find relevant stories that mean something to the people today, not just post, you know, about your food and the very fact that you're so privileged to have sushi, which, you know, when I see those things, I want to unfollow my friends who think I really care about what they're eating for lunch.
I think that's a great point. One thing that I found sparks engagement is engagement. I always say engagement sparks engagement. People know if you're the type of person to comment, and maybe it starts with one person commenting, and then if you leave it alone, you have less likelihood of comments in the future. I'm guessing that when Ryan gets a comment, he jumps on it and likes it or comments back, and then other people see that you are actually engaging, and that, yeah, believe it or not, will spark the engagement, because nobody wants to be the first person to comment, and nobody wants to have a comment stand out there in the ether, and it's like crickets, like, oh, did I say something wrong? And they start second guessing, and they'll never comment again. So I say engagement sparks engagement, not only on your own stuff, but get out there and start commenting on other people, because LinkedIn is great for this. Every time I see something with Tony Robbins that resonates, which is like 99% of the time, or something with Tim Ferriss, which is like 99% of the time, I'll make a comment, whether it's a little sassy or specifically or pulling something out, and then I get notified when other people comment on that post. And so you can find people that are active and you can reach out. So you really have to, I would say, it's an outbound strategy to create inbound comments. Are you guys there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm processing that. That's some heavy stuff.
Wait, did I just drop the mic right there or what?
No, you did. No, you're absolutely right. One of the mistakes I made one time, I was on a plane, and I said, hey, ask me anything. And then the internet went down, and I no longer had a plane flight. When I landed 4.5 hours later, there was like 1,000 people that had commented, and they were really pissed off that, you know, they thought I duped them into engagement. So, yeah, you have to be very particular. And for me, you know, I have zero time. I have a 7-year-old boy. You know, I run Hashtag One, which is a seed stage VC fund. And when you're dealing with seed stage companies, you're always dealing with something. I mean, every day of the week I've got, you know, it's not like a mature company where I show up every 90 days to a board meeting and, you know, have a nice lunch with the team and then leave. These are like companies that I'm dealing with something every single day on, let alone my own, acquisitions that I'm involved with and some of the other things. So that said, you have to be careful about how much time you spend on it. My business, my income and my fulfillment don't come from spending a lot of time commenting on other people's comments and so forth. So I think the best thing you could possibly do is just allocate a certain amount of time, maybe sparsely throughout the day, to make sure you're engaging where the people are in their own time zones or wherever they are globally, and then stay to that schedule. So maybe you take 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes around lunch, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and maybe 15 minutes before you go to sleep. In a normal day, not a day where you're not perhaps making a big announcement or really pushing some content pretty hard.
Basically integrating it into your schedule to help keep you kind of a force fed to do that.
Yeah, and keep you from, there's been times where I wanted to go to sleep and then I get into a dialogue. And, you know, in this day and age, you have some people that like to say very mean things. And I'm not exactly like Gary, but I'll punch back if somebody punches me first, right?
Right.
In that case, the next thing you know, the rest of my night is spent thinking about these people that I've never met, have no relationship with, and I should not care about their good opinions right before I go to sleep.
We've got maybe like 6, 7, 8 minutes here, and I want to come up with some sort of a stupid game because I like playing stupid games. Yesterday we did a mix of the Price is Right and what was it, Family Feud? Ryan, because you are here and you really can talk about sort of this reinventing yourself, and that's really what your book's about, correct?
Yeah, that is one of the principles of the book, but, clearly...
What are the main three principles of the book? And I'm going to make a game out of it.
Lessons they don't teach you in business school. So it's rock bottom to rock star, which is helping people take those rock bottom moments and then turn themselves into their own version of a rock star, whether it be a rock star entrepreneur, like our audience on here today, or rock star stay-at-home mom, or a rock star philanthropist. And it's the lessons they don't teach in business school, the ones that are won by life and by hard knocks.
Okay, so we're going to come up with a game that is basically an old school one. It's called Truth or Dare, but because we're on the radio, we can't dare, so it just becomes a bunch of truth, but we won't tell anyone that.
That sounds fun.
Okay.
I remember playing that in eighth grade.
Okay, and then once you get asked a question, then you get to ask somebody else. So, Ryan, truth or dare?
Truth?
Yes, okay, truth. Have you ever posted something online that you regretted, and what was it, and what was the backlash?
I woke up to a Gawker article that was talking about somebody that I had dated, and I didn't necessarily post it, but the paparazzi hit us, and next thing you know, I had a lot of other people weighing in, particularly family members, about who I was spending my time with, and she's a lovely girl, so it wasn't the issue, but that would be the one that pops to mind.
Okay, so lesson is don't post about past relationships.
Well, yeah, the lesson in that one is stay out of it. I try to keep my social media business only and business and family focused, not necessarily dating focused. So, yes, I try to keep relationships off my posting.
Okay, so now it's your turn. You get to ask somebody about truth or dare, and then you have to come up with a truth or a dare.
All right, Ryan, truth or dare?
Truth.
Truth. Have you ever dated a listener?
Have I ever dated a listener? No, I haven't. And that's because I've been dating the same wonderful woman for the last, like, 7 or 8 years, and it's so long that I don't remember. So she's my bae. She's my everything. Like,
and she's listening in right now.
If she is listening in, then technically, yes, I have been dating one of my listeners. Yes, yep, yes, technically. Yep, you know, sorry, guys, I just have to say, I've been dating one of my listeners, and I also room with her. My turn. Ash, truth or dare?
Truth.
Okay. What is your biggest weakness on social media?
My biggest weakness on social media is I love self-promoting things that my friends do, because I'm really like, I think social media can create positivity, and like when people see other people doing things, I love sharing that stuff. And I've actually gotten comments from people saying, man, you're always promoting a lot of other people's things. Promote what you're doing, too. But I don't know. It's just like a paid forward type of gene that I have.
Truth or dare, have you ever purposely dropped a phone call on a radio station just to mess with the host?
Yeah, dare.
Hey, who says you can't have fun and be stupid on the radio? Now, we've got a couple minutes here. Ryan, why don't you just try to spit out some truth bombs like you're on Entrepreneur Fire, or try to talk to us like you're Tony Robbins, or try to give us some Gary Vee wisdom, but more so talk to us about some Ryan Blairness. You've got a couple minutes. Yeah. You know, you have the world as your mic. One of them I'm actually dating, so be careful with what you say. I don't want her to try to jump fences or anything like that.
no problem at all. I mean, you know, I guess number one would be, and there's a great book called Outliers about it by Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, I love Malcolm.
Malcolm's great. And you got to get your 10,000 hours in. A lot of times people don't understand this, and I work with a lot of entrepreneurs across my platforms. I put in 20 years into my career, starting in October, it'll be my 20th year anniversary since I got my first job in 1996 working in technology. So 20 years in the tech industry, and I've put in probably 5,000 hours a year. An average person at their job puts in 2,000 hours a year, roughly. And at most jobs, as many of you know listening in, you're not working 40 hours a week. You're probably on your Facebook. You're chatting with friends, you're checking in with mom, taking breaks. So most people don't even work 2,000 hours a year in their profession. And entrepreneurship is a profession. It is not a job. It's something you have to be a professional about. So you have to put 10,000 hours in just to be a professional. And if you think about it, if you're working in an entrepreneurial environment within a corporation, you might get 1,000 hours in toward the subject of entrepreneurship. So that means you got to find another 1,000 hours elsewhere. Just to do 40 hours a week to get your 10,000 hours in, and in 5 years, right, to become just a professional, meaning you're making professional wages. Doesn't mean you're rich, doesn't mean you're a millionaire. That means you're making professional wages at the subject, which is, in my opinion, probably paycheck to paycheck for most people. So to me, I got my 10,000 hours in probably by the time I was 22, 23, working 80 to 100 hour weeks. I still work 80 to 100 hour weeks now, but I have a lot more fulfillment. I'm not grinding as much as I used to be doing things I don't want to do. I do the things I do want to do, and I surround myself with a great team of people. I seek advice from all kinds of people, whether it be folks like Youngry and Ash, where they're just starting up a company, and I'm learning a lot from him and the other entrepreneurs that I've invested in, as well as the employee team members of Visalis and the company I'm involved in. Or my readers, so I guess the second thing is be a better student than you are a teacher. That's one of the value systems that I've learned from, say, Coach John Wooden, some of the other mentors I've had. Seek mentorship would be another truth bomb I'd throw at you. And the way you do that is you ask for help and you provide value to the individuals first and foremost. And I guess the last thing I'll tell you is the more that you give, the more that you receive. And you got to play a long game, though. Like, so right now, I'm thinking about the next 10 years of my career. And then the next 20 years from there. And at 39 years old, I plan to work to 70, 80, God willing, and some great products by my company, Visalis, I'll work to 100. But I don't have control over that. But I do know this. The biggest mistakes I've ever made, and the number one question that everybody always asks me is, what would the older Ryan Blair tell the younger Ryan Blair? And I don't like to speak in the third person, so I guess older Ryan Blair would say, don't speak in the third person. but that said, what I would tell my younger self is focus on the long-term game. Where are you going to be 20 years from now? And are you going to be happy with yourself and your performance? Are you going to be happy with the decisions that you made? Looking back, the decisions that I've made that I'm not happy with always were when I was thinking short-term, or I was making decisions based on fear, or making decisions based on ego, and I wasn't making decisions based on, you know, the service that I'm providing and the greater good that my companies, you know, stand for. And sometimes it's easy to miss that fact when you're in survival mode, or you're living paycheck to paycheck, or you don't have enough cash in the bank, or whatever the case is. It's really easy to start making short-term, fear-based decisions. You need to think long-term. And in my forthcoming book, I talk about pay attention to your timeline, because over 20 years, there are years where, you know, it looked really bad. There are a couple of years where it looked like it was heading straight down, you know, to the bottom. And then, you know, you learn from that, you grow from that, it shapes you, it helps define your values, helps define your, you know, your value proposition to the planet, and then from there you continue to grow. So it looks like a roller coaster, but at the end of it, you'll look back and, you know, hopefully you'll be in a position 20 years from now or 10 years from now or whatever it is, and you'll look back and say, man, you did a lot of good and you contributed to a lot of people's lives. And the last thing I'll share with you is some of the products that we created, say at Sky Pipeline, this is in 2001 in the telecom space, there are still customers using those products today. So I look to create lasting value. Now, I know that telecom changes and evolves at a rapid pace, so I don't know that these products will be around forever. But the fact that I'm looking back at work that I did, you know, 14, 15 years ago and saying to myself, wow, you know, it still is there. It is still being utilized. The basis of the code that we wrote at a company called PathConnect in 2004 now powers hundreds of thousands of mobile users today in 2016. So, you know, I don't get caught up in the current industry and the current space, the current idea. I get caught up in the long-term focus and the decisions that you've made and how those decisions are going to create a legacy, you know, hopefully far beyond my life and into my son's life and others.
Mic drop. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Blair. We also had, we've got Ash here on the line, and then our other special guest, Kumar. Listen, seek mentorship, be a leader, provide value, put your time in. The more you give, the more you get. Focus on the long-term game. I'll be back next week here Wednesday from 8 to 9. Thank you guys so much. You guys have been great, and we'll see you on the 26th for the Youngry event.
Guys.
All right, guys, take care.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Milton.
Yeah, Captain Mo.
What's going on?
Man, it's rough on.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Get Notified. I'm going to notify you that you should go out there and get Ryan Blair's book. You should go out there and check out Youngry. You should go out there and follow Kumar. If you want more awesome episodes, it's easy. Go to getnotified.kuci.org. That's getnotified.kuci.org. This is Ginger MC. I'm signing out.